Hey, I'm Paul.
And I'm Christian.
Welcome to I'm Dying to Tell You, inspiration shared by our mom who is dying from ALS.
There is no cure for our mom or anyone else with ALS. But right now, she's on a mission to find and share stories of inspiration.
Coming to you from Cincinnati, Ohio, we're happy to introduce the one lady we both love since the first day we laid eyes on her. The queen of the Queen City, our mom, your host, Lori.
Hello there. I'm Lori, your host of I'm Dying to Tell You. Thank you for being here. Welcome, welcome. And welcome back if you have been here before. I really appreciate y'all being here. And oh my gosh, I cannot tell you how excited I am about talking with my guest today. And I just feel so blessed to be able to do this podcast and to admire people who bring inspiration into this world and then have this opportunity to sit down with them, get to know them better, and ask a bunch of questions. It has just been a dream for me. So thank you all for making it possible. Okay, so today I am talking to a very strong, resilient woman, young woman. If you know her, you love her. If you don't know her yet, you're gonna know her and you're gonna love her. She is so awesome. I'm just gonna get right into it. I am talking to Sarah Nowser of Kansas City. Sarah has ALS, and she was diagnosed at a very young age. I'm not really going to be digging into her ALS story as much as her life story. Just to be able to find out how she lives with such great optimism and has this ability to inspire everyone, every single person that she meets. Adversity of any kind can take hold of our emotions and our drive to live the life that we really want. And Sarah is just an example of someone that has been able to be stronger than that. Let me give you a little backstory about Sarah Nowser. So, all her life, she wanted to be a police officer. At 15, she started a youth program. She became a police officer. And she was doing really, really well and just absolutely loving it like she thought she would. And then she was diagnosed with ALS. And then, of course, had to leave her police officer position, which I'm sure was incredibly hard since that was a love and a dream of hers. But I'll tell you about another love. One of the things I know about Sarah is that she loves the Kansas City Royals and they love her. She's kind of like part of the team. And she's always been a fan even when she was a kid. And one of the things I read that I thought was really touching was that her dream was ultimately to be able to be a police officer and be in the dugout at a Kansas City game. And so once she was diagnosed and she knew her last shift was coming up, they arranged it, and her very last time that she put on her uniform and was working, she was able to be in that dugout. And I think that's when her fan club began, because that night she met George Brett and Salvador Perez and so many who have just been in her corner ever since. Even being a Reds fan, I love that so much. I love the Kansas City Royals for supporting Sarah and just fueling her fight to then come out and inspire so many of us living with ALS and even those that aren't. And you'll see what I mean after you get introduced to my friend, Sarah Nowser. Oh, and I also wanted to let you know that right now, 4 years after being diagnosed with ALS, Sarah is confined to a wheelchair, has very limited movement, and is on a non-invasive ventilator 24/7. So you might hear that in the interview. You might hear the machine a little bit after she talks. Yeah, I just wanted to explain what that was so you knew. So, okay, let's go to our chat. Welcome. I'm so happy that I'm talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I've been following you for a while and you just really inspire me. I love your outlook. And everyone's different when they're handed a big dose of adversity and devastation. You can't be positive and all that all the time, but it seems like you do a pretty darn good job of focusing on things you can control and just all the good right now, despite everything. So,
yes, exactly.
You inspire me.
Happy to do it. It's the only way I can live my life. I don't like getting stuck in a rut. And, you know, our life is short. And whatever time we do have left, I'm going to enjoy it to the best of my ability.
Yeah. Yeah. So for those listeners that aren't familiar with you, why don't you just give a brief introduction of who you are, when you were diagnosed, and, you know, just kind of like what you're up to right now.
I was born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri. I had always dreamed of becoming a police officer. Very athletic. I competed in bodybuilding competitions.
Yeah.
And the day after I turned 21, I became a police officer. So as young as I possibly could be.
Yeah, that is young, 21.
Yes. I was the baby of the police department. So I did that until I was 29 when I got diagnosed with ALS and I had to retire. But I was able to work for almost 2 years after I was diagnosed. They let me do different computer stuff and watching videos. And it was great because it gave me purpose.
Yeah.
And although I have purpose through the ALS community and helping out, I really enjoyed just getting up and having a sense of normalcy.
Yeah.
Getting to go to work. It was just, it was huge for me.
Yeah.
And so now I'm retired, but still doing good. I have been diagnosed now for nearly 4 years. I'm on non-invasive ventilation for all day, every day.
Yeah.
Works for me and I'm doing really well. So I really can't complain.
So you began your police officer career at 21, diagnosed at 29?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. And now you're 33. Wow. Okay.
Yep. I got to be a part of all kinds of media throughout my journey, including ABC Nightline. So that was that was pretty cool. I had no idea.
How did that come about?
I asked the same question. Said, how did you guys find me? And they said, just on social media, we liked your positive outlook, so we chose you.
Oh, nice. Just do a whole story about you battling ALS at a young age, or...
Yes, and they tied it all in with the Ice Bucket Challenge and just really helping raise awareness. It was the 5-year anniversary of the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Oh, okay.
So that's why they reran a special on it.
Mm.
And it was later that year that we lost Pete Frades. So it was pretty special.
Wow. Yeah, for sure. So you're another young lady with ALS. Are you a part of her ALS story? Are you a part of that special group?
I have not been a part of that, but I would definitely fit in there. I need to reach out to the right people.
For sure. Well, I'll connect you.
It's a powerful group of young ladies.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You'd fit in really good.
Yep.
What a terrible club to be a part of, but some dynamic people and special relationships.
It's the journey that none of us ever wanted to be on, but throughout it, we've met some of the most powerful and amazing individuals because we're literally fighting for our lives.
Yeah. Having been a police officer and going through the training and all of that, was there anything within that that had prepared you for ALS or helped you in this battle?
I would say just the adaptability, because you have to, as a police officer going on calls, you can be on a horrific scene and it's hard to deal with mentally. But then after that call's over, you got to forget about it and move on to the next one.
Oh.
And I think that just really kind of helped prepare me for this. Because I might have a bad day, but I'm not going to let it carry over and continue on. I forget about it and move on and on to the next day. And I'm going to find a way to make that day great. It just made me tough, I would say. I mean,
yeah,
not only physical, but mentally, it just, I was very involved with mental health, and I think that really helped because I've seen the worst of the worst, and I realize how bad it can be, but I know what a positive mindset can do.
The power of a positive attitude, and it's also just that sense of being able to control something, you know, when you can't control the fact that, you know, this is weakening or, you know, your diaphragm is getting weaker. It's so frustrating that no matter how hard you work and how much you apply yourself in the gym or whenever, that it's nice to be able to have control. And no matter what, that mindset is something.
Nobody can take that from me.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
And it's great just to be able to focus on what I can do rather than what I can't. Because I've got a new Toby. It's an iPad instead.
Uh-huh.
And I can control everything.
Oh,
I've been able to social media, whatever it is. It's given me back so much independence. And it's been so nice. And just that little bit, it makes such a difference.
Yeah. And so can you control the TV and different things like that? Yeah.
All the TVs, the lights, the front door, the doorbell, thermostat. I can do it all. It's pretty nice.
And all of that is operated with your eyes.
Correct.
Looking at a computer screen. Yeah. Yeah. I remember a friend of mine, actually, I'm looking at this picture right now. Wow. I didn't realize it. It's been a while. Let's see. It's been 12 years since he passed away. He didn't want anything to do with the speech device. And he was really outgoing, and he's like, oh, I don't want anything to do with that computer. No, 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 no. And I literally made him an appointment and took him there. And oh my gosh, he loved it. And just being able, like you said, to have that independence to be able to do.
I mean, it's nice. All I have to ask for is a drink every now and again. And I can sit here all day. And I find a lot of joy in helping out other people that are going through ALS that have questions or have run into problems, or they'll just pick my brain about my mindset and how I am the way I am, or
absolutely
any of it.
Oh, well, that's great. I'm glad you're doing that. So one of the things you mentioned is that you are a bodybuilder, and so I've talked to Scott Smith on this podcast. I've talked to Augie Nieto on this podcast, and you know, both of them being such fitness gurus and then having ALS. And I know you fit into that category, being so strong physically and then losing that. How have you dealt with that? You know, one extreme to the next.
It was I don't want to say slow process, but I did the bodybuilding competitions probably 10 years ago now, close to 10 years ago. Okay. But I was getting back in the gym and my body just wasn't responding the way it should. And nobody knew an answer to it. And I couldn't figure it out. So to me, that was the most frustrating part of any of it, because I had no answer. I was working so hard, but nothing was happening the way that I wanted it to happen. Because our bodies, it's tricky. So that slowly losing all the muscle that I had, when I was diagnosed, I had already lost probably 20 pounds of muscle. And I'm not very big. I'm only 5'4", used to weigh around like 130, 125. I'm pretty small. And so 20 pounds was huge.
Yeah.
So finally, I got so frustrated. I was trying to walk up some steps and my body was so weak that I had a laundry basket in my hands and my body was so weak I couldn't make it up the steps. And so I fell backwards and landed on my head and knew I had to get some answers after that. And I had had diagnosis within 2 months. And ever since that, really, that day, my mom was there with me. All the other appointments I went to by myself. I guess it was my way of coming to terms with it by myself. Mm. And I guess gathering myself before I let my family worry. And so I let her come to that last appointment. She's hysterical. I'm one of her younger kids and nobody saw this coming, especially her. So she had her moment where she was crying really bad. And I looked at her, I said, "Mom, you got 5 more minutes. That's it. We're going to figure this out and we're going to work through it." And that's how we lived ever since. So as hard as it is to not be able to throw that weight around at a gym, it's the people that surround me. And now my mind is more powerful than it ever was. And I think that's key. I mean, mindset means everything. And although I might've been physically strong, mentally, I was never the way I am right now.
Interesting, because I would think being a competitive bodybuilder, you know, the discipline and strength, you know, both physical and mental, I would think that would be a lot. You know, I would think a lot is needed for that.
It takes a toll. You have to be extremely, extremely driven. And I guess my way is now, that was my purpose then. This is my purpose now. This is God's plan for me, so let's rock it.
Yeah. What does your tribe look like right now? Like you mentioned your mom. Who's in your closest tribe that helps you out right now?
So a lot of people don't know this, but I'm probably 3 years into needing total care. We have yet to have to hire a single outside person. My friends, my family, and my husband do it all. I mean, my husband's huge. He works nights, overnights, so he can take care of me during the day. My friends, my brothers, my mom, they all come stay while he's at work. So we have sleepovers every night.
Oh my gosh.
It all works. And it's beautiful. And it's incredibly special.
Yeah. Wow. So it's been 3 years since you've had to have 24/7 care.
Yeah. But when you got your friends and the support system that I have, as hard as it might be, that makes all the difference. So it's police officers and police officers' wives and some of this people that, I mean, some of them I didn't even know before my diagnosis. They've just stepped up and they're always here. And it's really special because I don't know anybody else that has that.
Yeah, that's incredible. Definitely a blessing. So tell me about your husband. Am I right in saying that you actually got married after your diagnosis? Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I thought so.
So the backstory is I was married when I got diagnosed. And the day I was diagnosed, I kind of wrote a message to him and just basically, this is my fight and I'm not going to give up and we're going to do this. And his exact words are, "I don't want to live life like this," or "I don't want to live life this way." And I was like, oh, one, you're not living with the disease. And two, I just couldn't. So we separated and he just kind of, I guess, disappeared. I mean, That would be the best way to put it. Just wasn't there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I had known Lottie through work. Mm-hmm. And he was actually the first one I went to when I knew something was wrong. Because as a police officer, you work on the streets and you're handling calls. And I mean, I didn't know what to say. I knew how weak my body was getting, but I didn't have a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So do you just go to your boss and you're like, I'm weak. I can't do this job anymore. Like, that's not acceptable. So I really didn't know what to do. And I went to him and it all just, I mean, we fell in love and we got married almost a year ago. So,
oh my gosh.
It's like a pretty much a little fairy tale.
Absolutely. Oh, wow. Gives me the chills. You know, I'm thinking we need to do a whole episode on how those thrive after someone leaves them. After the diagnosis, yeah. Because I'm learning through this podcast, pretty common.
It really is.
It's hard to believe. And a lot of people would be like, no. But it happens.
It does. And it's, you're not looking for love. You're focused on just living your life. I mean,
yeah.
That's all you can focus on at that point. And
yeah,
it just all fell into place and it was magical. I mean, it's really special.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love hearing that. I don't even know him. And he's just has to be such an incredible soul.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
My mom, when she takes care of me, he goes hunting and does things that he needs to do to enjoy himself. And
yeah.
Everybody's got to get away. And she stays and she's like, I just don't know how he does it. He makes everything look so easy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
What has been the biggest obstacle with ALS or living with a terminal illness? What's the hardest thing right now?
Just not being able to care for yourself. Mm-hmm. That's the hardest. Like, mm-hmm. I want to do my hair the way I used to do my hair. I want to be able to shave my legs when I want to shave my legs. Like,
yeah.
Just little things like that. Because he does so much. I don't like to ask for any more than what is already done. I mean, I have exceptional care.
Yeah.
And he does an exceptional job. But it's mm-hmm. just things like that. Like, I want to just get up and go to the bathroom when I need to go to the bathroom. Like,
yeah.
It's just the little things, but exactly.
I get it. My husband washes my hair, that my arms don't go much higher. And I'm like, you scrub too hard. Yep. No, don't use your fingers, use your nails.
Yep.
You know, and he's like, oh my gosh, but it's true.
Yep.
You want to wash your hair the way you used to wash your hair.
yep. But if that's the one thing I could have back, I think that would be the first thing, which of course that would mean a lot of things, but.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It'd be nice.
So what is bringing you the most joy right now besides the Kansas City Royals?
Well, that's a pretty big one, but.
Well, let's talk about that. I know you're a huge Kansas City Royals fan and the team loves you. And I've seen you're really good friends with George Brett and a lot of those guys and that whole community. Like, tell me how that even came to be.
Well, you gave me chills because it still just doesn't even seem real. I mean, those guys were my heroes and now we're buddies and we text message and they've been over here chilling on my couch and it's just crazy to have their support and their prayers. And I mean, just yesterday, probably five of the players reached out.
Oh my
God. I mean, it means so much to me. And I know in turn, my life means a lot to them.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
say I'm an inspiration. And I've heard a lot, but you can tell how much they mean it and how genuine they are. I mean, it's just, it's incredibly special to see them all wearing my shirts with my logo on it. And that was for Lou Gehrig Day last year.
Oh.
And that was awesome. And I thought it would stop there. But I mean,
oh,
it's just it was so special.
Yeah.
And George is just, he's hilarious. But he promised me he would always be here to support me. And
yeah,
he very much does. So he comes to my golf tournament every year. Like, I'm just a kid from Kansas City that was given a bad diagnosis. And I mean, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, I think when you give off positive vibes like that, no matter who you are or what you do, people are attracted to that and they want to be around that. They want to be a part of it. Yeah. And so, you know, they're feeling that genuine outlook that you have and they want to be next to it. So I think it's awesome. Yeah.
I've lived out every dream I could possibly imagine with my Royals. And as a kid, I would go to games and buy the cheapest ticket, try to get the closest to the field as I could. And
yeah,
I would meet with the players after the game to try to get autographs. And I was just a huge, huge fan. And now they're my fans. I mean, it's cool.
Yeah. I wrote down something that you had said. Your life can change in an instant like mine. Don't wait. Be kind. You never know the lives you may touch or the difference you can make. I love that so much.
Yes.
You have an example of this?
It's just every day I want to make a difference. I want to live my life with purpose. I want to know that I did everything I could to make an impact on this world and be the change, be the positive part of this world, because we need more of it. Mm. Like recently, I lost a close friend to, I mean, it's a murder. It was cold-blooded. It was horrible. Mm. And it's just, he was like family to me. And what do you do in that instance? You can't tell that mom anything to make anything better. But every day I try my best to be there for her and send positive messages and just be a little bit of light for her to continue on. And I was able to create a book with pictures of him growing up and all kinds of memories. Mm. It was a photo book on Shutterfly, and I created it with my eyes. And it was for his 7-month-old daughter, but I made her a copy too. And it, just stuff like that, that's stuff nobody's ever going to forget. I mean, just being a positive impact, it can make such a difference in somebody's life.
And like you said, you never know. You never know.
People tell me, well, you got a different perspective. And I said, why is my perspective any different than yours? This could happen to you tomorrow. None of us know.
Right.
I didn't plan for this. I didn't ask for this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's here and I got to face it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have one specific life motto that you live by?
Well, it was to just love every second and enjoy every second of life, because I understand how precious life is.
Yeah.
But now it really just be to be the change, be positive, be the light in somebody else's life, because that's what gives me joy. And I know in turn it gives them joy. And like I said, it gives me purpose. That's what I love about waking up every day and being able to make a difference.
And I know, don't live with regret.
That's huge to me. You know, life is never perfect for anybody. And family is never perfect for anybody. And I don't have a perfect family. But I don't want to live with any regrets. So I do everything I can to make those relationships as good as I can from my side.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to regret it that I didn't do everything I could.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as ALS goes, what do you want people to know about ALS that they might not realize?
It's not an old man's disease. Everybody thinks only old guys get this disease, and they don't realize it can happen to anybody. I mean, I'm sure you've seen it can happen to kids. It can happen to people much younger than I am. It can strike down anybody, and it's just not something that, it can impact your life in so many ways, whether it's you going through it or somebody you know. And it's a devastating disease. But just because you get it, life doesn't stop. Life's not over. Because I feel like a lot of people, they hear the words ALS and they're like, oh, well, they're just going to die in a couple of years. Or, my life's over. And that's That's not how you do it. Mm-hmm. I've lived more life since I was diagnosed than I did before I was diagnosed. I've made more memories, and I just live life with so much more meaning, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And just the littlest things mean the most.
Yeah.
Like at night, we've started this, I would say within the last couple months, he puts me in bed. We're late owls. Like, we're night owls. We stay up late.
Yeah.
So he puts me in bed at probably like 11 o'clock, and I can control my TV in my bedroom. So I've been playing music videos on the TV.
Yeah.
And we take turns singing back and forth to each other. And it's just, I mean, it's just special.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just the littlest things that you could find joy in that maybe I took for granted before I had this. I mean, it's so, so incredible. I still have my voice. So many people lose that. And I feel for them. I had a cold probably about 2 months ago, and my voice got really hoarse. And I was like, is this it? Like, is it, am I going to lose it forever? And it's hard not to crawl in a dark place. But at the same time, I was like, well, I still have it. So many people, they lose that right off the get-go. And
yeah.
I'm still able to speak. And now it's come back. And although I have to pause for the breathing machine, I mean, I still can talk. I can still sing to him at night. It might not be perfect, but not set any record labels anytime soon. But
it doesn't matter.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just like everything gets stripped down, you know, and all the extra stuff just goes away. And then you have room in your brain and you have room in your heart to see the simplicity and what really matters.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I just had that talk with it's actually one of the Royals broadcasters. And he goes, you notice the littlest details that I don't even notice. That I'm on the field with the guys, and he goes, do you just have a heightened sense of awareness? And I don't know, but when everything is stripped from you, you have no choice but to live in the moment. And it's exactly what I do.
Yeah. Were you able to go to opening day?
I was. It was freezing cold, but I was there.
Oh, was it? Oh. Yeah.
But they treat me like royalty. I sit in the fanciest suites there are, and there was heat. I was just fine.
Now, how many games were you going to? Were you going to a lot this season? Or?
Probably 20 or so, at least.
Oh, you will?
Yeah, we go to quite a few. We're going to go tomorrow, actually.
Oh, okay. Good. Yep.
So anytime I want to go, they're just like, just let us know. We'll have it ready for you. So,
yeah.
It's cool.
That is cool. I love that.
My escape. It's my happy place.
Yeah.
Sports have been they're my way of just, I guess, blocking out the ALS and just enjoying myself like I used to. I mean, I'm just, just a girl sitting at the ballpark like I used to. And I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just something to make you feel normal.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Worrying about, I think, gonna pull it out, I think, pull out the game or, you know, becomes the priority and the focus, which feels really good.
Yes, absolutely. And then getting paid visits by George Brett and Mike Sweeney and the broadcasters, and that adds to the experience. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's cool. So you mentioned your faith. If you're comfortable talking about it, I'm curious to know how faith has played a part in your journey.
I was baptized and confirmed Lutheran in the Lutheran church when I was in middle school. So a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always had faith. I mean, it's never gone away. But after I got diagnosed, something just allowed me to put it in God's hands and not to worry. Mm-hmm. Because this is his purpose for me. Whether I saw it coming or not, it's his plan and I can't question it.
Mm-hmm.
So I live it to the best of my ability and make the most of it. And because of him, I don't sit here every day and worry about the future or worry about the little things that people worry about. It's just like, doesn't matter to me. I guess that's the best way to describe it, because I'm in his hands and I'm doing his work and he'll take care of the rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some people, you know, their journey is turning the other way. Like, where are you?
They're completely justified in that. I mean, when I lost my French bulldog, that was my, like, that was my kid. I lost him almost a year ago. And that was really the first time that I asked why. Mm. I'm taking the burden of this disease and I think I'm doing a pretty good job. And now you take my best friend. Like, I didn't understand. But now I have another French bulldog that, although he'll never replace Joey, he fits into our life like he's been here forever.
Oh, nice.
Like Joey, I'll always have my memories.
Yeah.
Like when I received my diagnosis and I was looking up on the computer on my chart, it said possible diagnosis, ALS. And I'm like, well, I barely know what that means. So I look it up and Joey's sitting on my lap and I just start crying, climbs up on my chest and licks the tears off my face. Like, we were best of friends. So I feel like people are extremely justified in that, questioning why. But I don't believe that I could do this without my faith. I think it's the reason why I've kept my strength, the reason why I could go with the positive mindset that I have, because I know that he'll take care of the rest.
That's the way I feel as well. Do you have children?
I don't, but I got blessed to have a stepson that calls me his mother. I mean, I came in his life at 16 and he was over here yesterday. We have a special, special bond. And he made me a grandma at the age of 30.
Wow. Oh, that's really cool.
I get to experience being a grandparent and it's...
Oh, wow.
It's one of God's blessings. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It's so special.
That's exciting.
I was scared going into it because I'm like, I had already been diagnosed. I was already almost in a wheelchair. And I'm like, what kind of relationship am I going to be able to have with my grandson? Like, it's going to be special to be a part of his life, but how can I make that bond? And oh my goodness, that little boy loves me so much.
Oh, so you figured it out.
Oh yeah. He got over here yesterday and he knows how to climb up and into my recliner. And Grandma Sarah, can we watch a show?
Oh.
Because he knows I can put his videos on my iPad. And
Yeah.
It's special.
And for him.
Oh yeah.
Just seeing something different. He's going to grow up to have such a big heart and to be so compassionate.
He sits on my lap and feeds me popcorn.
Oh, nice.
Yep, yep.
It's well, you awesome. Probably have a lot of people coming and going.
Yes, I do.
What's one thing that you recommend people do while they can?
I would encourage everybody to travel. I mean, I hit the ground running when I was diagnosed. I was at home for like, I don't think I was home for longer than a day at a time. Like,
oh, wow.
I just went on trips after trip after trip. I made sure I took every brother or sister on a trip to make it special for them, where it was just special time, just the two of us. And that was something that I don't think any of us will ever forget. So,
where was one of your favorite places?
Getting to take my brother, my big brother, to Wrigley was probably one of the most special, because when I was diagnosed with ALS, he was battling addiction. And I helped him get clean, and we really bounce off each other, and we have a special, special relationship. So getting him clean and sober and being able to make that trip, and it was just, there are no words for how cool and special that was. Because when he was in rehab, that's what I told him. I said, I want to go and visit the ballparks and I want you to be able to go with me.
Yeah.
And I want to take you along. And lo and behold, with the Royals' help, it all happened. So.
Oh.
And of course, it was Wrigley, the most special place. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. Is he doing well now?
He is.
Oh.
He is up here probably at least once or twice a week.
Oh.
To stay the night with me and help take care of me. And
oh.
It's special for me.
Yeah.
He hit his rock bottom and not anymore.
Mm. Yeah, you've been a light for him, I'm sure.
We have been a light for each other. Because I, with my background in law enforcement, addiction is just as hard. I mean, it's so difficult. And to overcome it, I mean, not easy.
Mm. It wouldn't matter where you went with him, right?
Yep, that's right.
Just the fact that you had that time together.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. It was cool.
Sarah, what are you dying to tell us?
I'm dying to tell you that when you're faced with the greatest adversity in your life and you think that you have nothing else or there is nothing else, dig down deeper because life is so, so precious and enjoy it while you have it because it can change in an instant. And it's just, it's a special, special gift. Mm-hmm. So never give up no matter what you're up against, whether it's ALS or cancer or whatever. Mm. Find your purpose and find your reason why and give it all you got.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you and I'm so happy that we are finally able to catch up. I just appreciate all that you give of yourself to our community and people outside the community, like the Royals, you know, that you're inspiring every day. Just thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Take care of yourself.
Okay. Thank you so much for allowing me to introduce Sarah to you. I hope that you'll find her on social media or go to the show notes that will be on my website or my Facebook page, both at I'm Dying to Tell You, so that you can follow her and get to know her more. I'll tell you every time I come across something from her, it totally makes my day. And Sarah, thank you so much for being a part of this. I am so happy that you all are here. Thank you so much for listening and being a part of this podcast. I really appreciate you all. And if you want to keep in touch, if you want to see who's coming up, you can follow pretty much everywhere on social media, all at I'm Dying to Tell You podcast. And if you like the episode and you want to hear more, I release new ones on the 2nd and the 4th Tuesday of each month. If you like this podcast and you want to help tell other people about it, one way is to leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. It helps other people find it and then encourages them to listen and see if they like it. And I really hope that you enjoyed this episode with Sarah and that it touched you in some way. Thank you so, so much for being here. It absolutely means the world to me. So until next time, know you are loved and not alone. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to our mom. Make sure to visit her website at imdyingtotellyoupodcast.com, where you'll find photos and show notes about this episode. If you liked the show, please subscribe to the podcast and share it with a friend. Thank you.